This week we come to the sixth paragraph of the first chapter of the Westminster Confession of Faith. This is a rich paragraph, to be sure. That is to say, in just a handful of words, the divines say quite a lot, and so there is much for our observation, unpacking, and in turn, edification. My hope is to divide the paragraph into its two sentences and cover each of them. The first, covering the topics of the necessity of Scripture, the sufficiency of Scripture, and the closed nature of it being rightly set down as canon, not to be added to with new revelation. It is necessary that we have a written, reliable, and sufficient word in order to live upright and godly lives. The second sentence speaks of the necessity of the inward illumination of the Spirit to a saving understanding of the things that are in the Word of God. In addition to the Word of God, there are things made clear in nature, prudence, and general rules of the Word, which are to be used in ordering of life of the Church and our public and individual lives, even outside of the Church. I'll begin by reading the first sentence of paragraph 6. The whole counsel of God, concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life, is either expressly set down in Scripture, or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of men. All right, let's dive into the first sentence. Concerning the necessary parts of the whole counsel of God's Word as being set down for us, that we know what to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. First, by way of implication, it must be said that there are things that belong to the counsel of God that are not recorded. In fact, there is much in the way of revelation of God to men in history that is not recorded in Holy Scripture. What, then, is recorded? All things necessary for God's own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life. It should be added that we don't need to worry about the things that God has not laid down in His Word, because again, all that is necessary for salvation, for glory, faith, and life, God has given to us in His Word. All that is necessary God has revealed to us that exalts and honor the Lord as Creator and Redeemer. That is what it means when it speaks of the glory of God. All that is necessary for us to know the way of salvation and faithful living as creatures called to glorify and enjoy God is also expressly set down. That is, it is clearly and explicitly taught in Scripture. In addition to what is clearly or expressly taught in Scripture, is that which can be decided by good and necessary consequence. Now you may be thinking, what in the world does good and necessary consequence mean? This is the arriving at a systematic or biblical theology through careful reading, study, and comparing Scripture with other parts of Scripture. It is coming to the Word of God and reasoning not just with particular parts, verses, sections, but the whole of Scripture, so that we might derive theological truths, biblical principles, and standards which become evident when taking the whole into account. By combining and comparing scriptural truths, we can come to conclusions as it relates to Christian obedience, that in order to understand what God commands to believe or do, it must be both good and necessary. Now, the last part of this sentence, the first sentence, expresses the reality and importance of the close of the canon of Scripture, and that nothing is to be added through new revelation or the traditions of men. These two speak in particular to the charismatic movement, which has become so popular today, even though this document was written many hundreds of years ago, and they were not perhaps anticipating something like the charismatic movement. Regardless of that, it has been the tendency of men to add to the Word of God that which He's not commanded. Also, this particular section speaks against the place of tradition and papal decree that we find in the Roman Catholic Church. God does not speak as he once did, or, it might be said, God no longer brings new revelation that is to be given and received as inspired word that stands above, as an authority, all other words. Let's move quickly then onto the second sentence. Reading then from paragraph chapter 6, the second sentence, "Nevertheless, we acknowledge the inward illumination of the Spirit of God to be necessary for the saving understanding of such things as are revealed in the Word, and that there are some circumstances concerning the worship of God and government of the Church, common to human actions and societies, which are to be ordered by the light of nature and Christian prudence, according to the general rules of the Word, which are always to be observed. We must say, then, the Word is to be studied and can be read from a purely academic endeavor, and without the Holy Spirit bringing inward illumination, that is all it will be. In order for the Word of God to be effective in bringing about salvation, the Holy Spirit must provide inward illumination, that is a saving understanding of what God has said in His Word. We ought then to pray earnestly for such a movement and gift of the Spirit, as He is in all things our teacher and guide, pertaining to the matters of righteousness and truth. The promise from Scripture is that when the Word is open, in order to be read, taught, and preached, the Spirit is moving. And so the Word is always a means whereby God exercises divine authority, either unto the purpose of judgment or salvation. The Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, because God, the Holy Spirit, moves through His Word. In addition to the Spirit speaking or illuminating through the Word, God hath revealed Himself in nature in such a way that is common to and can be observed in the light of nature itself. That is what we might call natural revelation, or even common grace. Paul himself appealed to nature when he was communicating how unbecoming it was that a man would go around with long hair in 1 Corinthians 11, or how a woman ought to have herself long hair, or again in 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul appeals to the common knowledge that all things are better done in order and decently, and that this very thing applies to how we ought to worship, and that worship as a practice is rightly done with order. We ought then be faithful students of how God has revealed Himself in His Word and also in nature, and to use the book of Scripture to rightly understand and apply the book of nature, knowing that both of these books, God has made Himself known." All right, let's talk about some takeaways. First, we ought to receive the Word of God as not only authoritative, but also sufficient to guide us in salvation, faith, and life. And that we ought to receive nothing as authoritative as His Word, be it nature, or new revelation, or tradition, or papal edicts. All of those things are under the Word of God, which is our a priori principle, or standard by which all things are judged. Another takeaway is that God's Word is not only instructive, but it is powerful through the operation of the Spirit. And though it is right to appeal even to nature for ways whereby we might worship, live, and be rightly organized, all of these things must first be guided and informed by God's inspired and infallible Word. That's it for this week. Tune in next week for paragraph number 7.